It's time for the Dynamics Podcast, and today we're talking to MVP Joel Lindstrom. Joel comes from the CRM space. He's the business solution MVP, and he's been working with the CRM space for 10 years now. We're really happy to talk about what's going on customer engagement and how that fits it to the operation side of things. So let's talk Dynamics 365.
This is the Dynamics Podcast, episode 20, recorded September 27th, 2017. Two worlds merging with Business Solutions MVP, Joel Lindstrom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dynamics Podcast. My name is Felix Sattler, and joining me today is my lovely colleague. It's Tommy Skewer. Hello, Tommy.
Hi, Frederick. How are you, man?
Hi. So we're short on time today. Let's just bring on our guests. Let's not race around because banter is banter. But this is more interesting. Hello, Joel. Welcome.
Hello, Frederick and Tommy. How are you?
Hi. Perfect. So we kind of just want to get to know who you are and what you do.
Okay.
And how'd you get there? So let's jump into it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you my life story.
Yes.
So I have been I've been in the CRM world, the Dynamics 365 customer engagement, as we call it now, for about 10 years. I've been an MVP for 10 years. Before that, I was in sales. And so that's what led my transition into the CRM side of things, because having a background in sales, I could talk to salespeople and understand sales processes and all things like that. So back when I became an MVP in 2008, the focus was more on forums. It was who was the top forum contributor and blogger. So I did a lot in the forums, but over time that shifted to more online, more social. And about 3.5-4 years ago, my MVP friend from Australia, George Dubinsky, he said, we should start a daily CRM site, a daily blog, which is kind of intimidating. And so we started crmtipoftheday.com, and next week we're going to have our 1,000th tip, which is hard to believe. We kept thinking we were going to run out of things to tip about, but it's a never-ending source of material, especially all the new stuff that's coming out now. And then about 3 years ago, I was getting into podcasting and working in technology. I'm sure you have a similar experience where you're the technology guy to your friends, and they ask you anytime they have a question about technology or software. And so one of my friends said, how do I do podcasts? And I have listened to podcasts since 2003, 2004, but I'd never done one. So I gave myself a challenge to learn podcasting. And through that, we kind of, as an extension of Tip of the Day, started CRM Audio. And over time, that's grown to more of a network we have now more content than just our CRM Audio show. We also cover all the facets. And once we got into it, originally we thought, we're going to run out of things to talk about, but realizing that this world of Dynamics 365 ever expanding has a lot of different facets. You have developers, you have partners, you have users, you have administrators. And so all these different people, all these different audiences, we've kind of tailored part of our network towards that. And it's also become a venue kind of as an MVP maker. Several of the people like Sean Tabor and Derek Borman, who does some of the videos for CRM Tip of the Day, by joining with us, they've been able to build their audience and been able to, over a period of a couple of years, become qualified for MVP. So that's the big thing that I would say shifted in my mind from 10 years ago. I used to look at my fellow MVPs or other people in the community as they're my competition, because I need to compete for the attention of people to read my stuff. But I found by joining together, it's kind of a rising tide lifts all ships kind of thing, where we have now a much broader reach than we did, and somebody starting a new blog or starting a podcast on their own, building that audience is tough. But by joining together, we can all, they bring their audience, so we benefit, and it's a lot of fun too.
Because there's quite a few CRM MVPs as far as I know, at least compared to AX.
Yeah, there are. I don't know the current count. I think it's upwards of 80 to 100, but I might be wrong. It's quite an international group. Surprisingly, Australia and New Zealand has one of the heaviest amounts, and of course U.S. But there's South America represented, South Africa is represented. That's been the most rewarding thing to me over the 10 years, besides just having, more access to the product team, is I can travel almost anywhere in the world and I know people through the MVP program and through the Dynamics community in general. And so that's where it's changed. You first become an MVP, and I love seeing first year MVPs because they're like looking at their heroes, seeing, people that they've read their blogs for years, and they like, wow, these are such smart people. But then you realize not everyone is good at everything. There's some things that my hero, who's the superstar developer, he couldn't write a report to save his life, or he doesn't really understand where salespeople are coming from, or business people are coming from. I mean, he's more of a developer. So it takes all kinds, and the developer message and the business analyst message can complement each other, I found. So that's been probably the most rewarding thing. But I think there are a few more CRM MVPs than our AX MVPs. We're all in the same group right now. We're now business solutions, us and AX and CRM and the Microsoft project guys, which I don't know how they got in there, but I guess they fit.
Yeah, it's all about like adding business value to. You have the production side of things with Office and that type of group. SharePoint, I think, is also, are they under the data group?
Yeah. It's kind of been reshuffled so many times I can't keep up. But yeah, I think they're in the data group, and then you've got the exciting new areas like Power BI that everybody's excited about that are in there too. Power Apps and Flow are in with us as well. So if you do content like blogs about some of this new stuff like Power Apps and Flow, it counts towards just as much as if you did an AX or a CRM related topic.
Yeah, that's not that well covered yet. I feel that, especially Power Apps, I'm missing forums, and I'm missing, well, there's right. some forums, but at least I'm missing some good blogs about it.
And that's what I tell my team. I have several people who I'm kind of mentoring who want to be MVPs, and I tell them, look for the areas where you don't have as heavy a coverage, and these new solutions are ideal for that. You've got these tools like Flow and Power Apps. There's so much stuff changing so fast, and Microsoft is putting out material like instructional material and blogs about the platform itself, but the nuances of how do you work with AX or operations with it, how do you work with CRM with it, take some standard business issues or business challenges, show how you can solve it or resolve it with these items. That's the kind of thing that I find is a really rich area that somebody can just dig into and get a wealth of material right now.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. We actually met with one of the new persons that are responsible for business solutions, marketing or something. What do you know? We were at the Dynamics user group in Oslo, Tommy. What was his name? He was pretty new to Microsoft, and he was looking for, he said, do you know anybody who wants to be like Power Apps MVPs? Let's send them to me. And I would have if I'd seen somebody that would qualify for being that, but
right.
So if you want to be an MVP, go get your Power Apps on.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
We'll actually talk to Joel Lichty, who's going to do a series on Flow. So it's coming.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was on the MVP Summit 1 year, and we were at Advanta Campus, which is where the business solution PGs were, CRM guys and AX guys. And I remember that the CRM MVPs, there were so many more of them compared to us. I think we were like 7 or 8 guys there from on the AX side. But you were maybe 40, 50, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, my impression from the MVP summits are there's certain products like Windows and Office that have just a mob of people. Visual Studio, there's just a mob of Visual Studio MVPs. And from what I've heard from some people I know in those groups, they can get kind of contentious sometimes, just the size of the group. And you've got some, that's where some of the longest term MVPs have been in things like Office and Visual Studio. Whereas on the CRM side, which is all I know, it's definitely very supportive. You know, we have people who work for companies that Hitachi Solutions, the company I work for, regularly competes with, but I count them as some of my best friends. Now, we don't talk about about business matters necessarily, but we do share knowledge, and they'll email me, I'll email them, and we're glad to share that knowledge. And that's again, underscoring for people who want to be an MVP, if you want to do it just to have your name on the wall, like if you've seen the pictures on Facebook, there's a big wall at the Ignite conference where all our names are on there. It's a pretty huge wall. You know, if your goal is to be up in front of everybody, you're not going to last because, you know, you really need to, number one, like the technology, and you need to genuinely want to help people. And if you have those things, then yeah, definitely pursue it, is what I tell people.
Yeah. I like to think at the end of the day, we're regular people, but we have a fair share of enthusiasm with what we're doing, and we're probably above average geeks.
Right.
But sharing the enthusiasm, and then also that just a sharing fact. And it's the same thing with the AX MVPs. We share between ourselves and motivate ours between ourselves. So yeah.
Right.
Tobias Tribe is his name, or Tribe. I don't know. He is he's the new senior project manager, product marketing manager for the whole Dynamics platform. That's a pretty big position to have. So shout out to Tobias, who is really looking forward to getting feedback. So get in touch with Tobias if you have anything you're wondering about on the product side. Awesome. So you come from the CRM side, and we've kind of we're merging together at the time. You've been, how long have you been working for Hitachi?
I started with a company called Customer Effective in Greenville, South Carolina, 10 years ago. And in 2014, so coming up 4 years ago, we were acquired by Hitachi Solutions. And Hitachi grew through acquisition. So there were several smaller partners, both AX and CRM, that were acquired by Hitachi as Hitachi grew more into professional services and became Hitachi Solutions. So we do both operations and customer engagement, and we've got some joint projects that are going on doing both. And we also work with customers that use SAP and Oracle and a number of other solutions as well. So my focus has traditionally been on CRM and things related to it. So when I say related to it, I mean, for example, CRM gets into SharePoint with document integration and other things. You know, we build portals and other things like that. But the core focus of what I focus on and the projects I typically do are CRM or customer engagement related.
Yeah. And did Hitachi know about Dynamics coming as they kind of merge everything together? Or did they, was that just
I mean, I think if you've been in the market a long time, you remember things like Project Green, where that's been the vision for a long time, and it hasn't happened. Now, AX, from my perspective, AX has always been the ERP that has been closest to CRM from a way data is structured and presentation. I mean, I've done integrations back when I was more of a solution architect. I did integrations to SL and Division, and you just looked under the covers of GP, and you just had to scratch your head and wonder, how did they come up with this data model and naming of fields? But with AX, it was always a little bit clearer. You actually could probably tell what a field really was when you looked at the database.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the limit of my operations experience.
Yeah. Have you been in projects where you've kind of had to merge these two or with other ERP systems earlier?
Yeah. And it's becoming more and more common, but the common touch points, you know, again, since a lot of our CRM projects are on the, you know, what happens leading up to and during the sales process. So customer relationships, quotes, that type of thing. The common touch points are during, you know, are things like product catalog for quoting, CPQ. The front end of that is done through CRM typically, because that's what the salespeople, you don't want those salespeople logging into AX usually. No. And then, but then the product catalog, you know, the areas where AX shines is the ability to handle complex product catalog models, and then definitely order fulfillment. So things like the typical workflow, and a lot of our customers is where they're tied to, where CRM and AX are tied together, is up to the sale, you do everything in CRM with some things integrated for product catalog. And then when an order goes in, that's sent to AX, they become a customer. And once that customer number comes in, then the account or the company record gets locked down inside CRM. And then it's managed, the account or the master account data is managed through AX at that point. But typically, you know, we're not putting prospective contacts and accounts and activities for sales. Although AX has something called CRM in it, nobody wants to use it.
Yeah, that's the thing. So coming from like the operations side of things, you kind of want to take control of it. So for us, it's, or at least for me, it's kind of hard to kind of let that go to somebody else and say, well, somebody else is going to touch my baby now. So I'm a bit skeptical, because I see a lot of advantages. Like the major advantages, I feel that the CRM application or all the customer engagement applications is more driven by customer feedback. It looks like it, at least. There are better interfaces, they have better technology, and when it comes to integrations, like it's the integration to Outlook, which is basic for me, the biggest caveat, that's what's missing. That's what's what you really need, like logging documents and email threads and everything like that. You don't have anything like that on operations, and because you have pricing, you have quotes, you have project quotes that you can create. You can create like work breakdown structures, and also we can do a mini master planning based on what you have in your quote, so you can get precise feedback. We have something called ATP, which is available to promise, which is based on what you feedback from your production and purchasing departments. But then we also have something called CTP, which is capable to promise, which does a breakdown. It looks like all the material breakdowns. It looks at your resources, when you can, how do you have production capacity to do this, and gives you a date based on that. So it actually plans it into your production, how it fits. And those things are going to be absent in this process currently. So that's what you lose. But I feel that coming to salespeople and telling them that they have to work without Outlook and they have to move them the files manually to track this, you've already lost at that point. So
And I think you know, to me, and I have seen people for both sides, there are ISVs that make accounting packages running totally out of CRM, and I think that's crazy, because things like AX are optimized for those very technical, very, you know, regulated type processes that are, you know, a lot more tedious than a sales process is. Whereas I have seen people go the other way too, and expect salespeople log into AX to do a quote, and user adoption of that generally suffers as well, because it's not optimized for that. And so, you know, I will give you that AX is much better than that. I've seen there's some gray areas there where, you know, for example, for fairly vanilla or simple product catalog scenarios, I've seen people do production planning through CRM based on what opportunities are out there. And that works to a point, but if you want to get to the level you're talking about, I agree that AX is much better suited for that. The other thing where CRM shines is the idea of XRM. And if you're not familiar or haven't been in the CRM world for a while, that's basically anything relationship management. So CRM really became, in version 2011, I would say, it became the go-to build any line of business application you want. And so, you know, for example, we've got people using it for franchisee management with fast food restaurants. We've got charitable organizations using it for donation management and, you know, things like this. Usually there's a customer or a constituent facing side of this still there. So there are relationships, but it's very adaptable and very easily adapted to whatever line of business process you want it to be. So, you know, many of our deployments aren't the traditional sales, customer service, marketing that you think of traditional CRM. And that's why to me going away from the name CRM makes sense, because so many things we're doing are not CRM anymore. I mean, pull something out. I mean, Ohio State government, for example, they're not one of our clients, but I know they use it to manage constituent relationships. So when they have a bill that comes up to be voted on, somebody, they count constituent calls, how many are for this, how many are against it, and then all the representatives can access it to get a report. That's the kind of thing that you probably could find a way to squeeze that kind of thing into AX, but CRM is much better suited for that, anything you want management, relationship management kind of scenario.
I got a question. It's somewhat technical, but it's more on the platform side. CRM has already been in many years by now. It's been cloud-based as a software as a service. And AX now with Dynamics 365 is entering the scene as a software as a service. How much percentage, or would you say that your customers are still on-prem with their CRM? Are they all of them now on cloud, or?
I don't know the percentage, but I can say of the deployments we've done in the last year, probably 80% are in the cloud. There's still a few that are on premises or that do private cloud, where you basically stand up on premises in a private Azure cloud or something like that with IaaS. But the majority, and this is what has been eye-opening for me, is four or five years ago, the Microsoft cloud was really immature. And back then, CRM Online, back in 2011, 2012, it basically used Windows Live, the same authentication you use for your Xbox and Skype personal. And it really wasn't ready for prime time. They didn't satisfy the needs of administrators. But over time, coming on Office 365 and Azure AD Connect and on-demand backups and self and customer managed encryption keys, one by one, they've now made it easier, more secure, more administrator friendly than even standing something up on premises. And so in the early days, it was the small guys who would come online, the guys that didn't want to have a data center or didn't want to pay somebody to administer it. Now it's the big guys. It's the government contractors. It's the insurance companies, the banks, all these people that 3 years ago I was said are never going to go online are now online. And so I feel kind of for people in the operations world, because I know the pain that going through that back then was for the CRM, because it was, I think it was 2013, the first release where we started to see some functionality that was only online. And the concern, is it ready for these big companies? And now I shudder now when I see an on-premises deployment. Typically, people that are staying on premises, some of them are paranoid about security. Credit union that got a big hack 2 years ago, they probably are leery to jump to the cloud. A lot of them are just cheap and thinking, you know what, I got servers in the back room, I've got Bill, he can administer it, and they don't do it well. The thing is, on premises can be done well, but you have to really put some effort behind it. You have to have people, it has to be somebody's job to care about it. And too often now we're seeing, so I am glad to see people to go to the cloud, because I know that we can stand them up quickly. We'll have a baseline of performance. Yeah, maybe you could get your on premises to perform faster, but is that going to perform fast for the guy in Uruguay and China and South Africa? Probably not. And so that's where the big change has been. I know for operations and financials, that's a huge move. Traditionally, that's been the last holdout. That, and some people are really holding out with their Exchange servers too, because that's secure, very very secure about their email. But I think some of the pain, talking to some of my colleagues who focus on operations, they're going through some of the pain points. Fortunately, you're coming in the cloud at a much better time than we did. Yep. Yeah. It's now you benefit from all the things that have happened with CRM and Office and SharePoint and all these systems being online. And so you're coming into an enterprise ready cloud that's ready for prime time.
Yeah, and I believe also operations has been pushing the envelope of what the cloud can actually do on time in terms of performance. And but like you said, so many of the features you just mentioned, that they are there and operations can utilize them.
Right.
Yeah. We look to CRM, at least I do. I look to CRM to say, okay, how did that transition go? And I agree. We moved our Exchange to the cloud many years ago, and I'm so happy we did that because it was almost like a regular thing that on Monday they were patching the servers and you wouldn't have mail for a couple of hours.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, to me, the most exciting thing is just all these other Microsoft services that just being in the cloud makes it so much easier to leverage. So by being in the cloud, we're now leveraging, for example, on mobile, we're leveraging Azure SQL for offline syncing. And they didn't have to build another sync engine to bring offline mobile to CRM. They're just leveraging that. You're seeing that with Flow being available from within the application. You're seeing that with Power Apps being able to just connect to it. Office Online templates and all kinds of things. Where just being in the cloud, it's not just the checkbox of these are all the functionality that this application brings us, but oh, you also get this stuff too, that is also these other platforms in the cloud that just being there, you can just natively leverage.
Mm. Get a feeling that Microsoft is actually fairly good at making sure that their technology can be used across on the platform between yeah. products. Yeah,
and that's where I think Flow is a good example where, you know, all these applications like SharePoint and CRM have their own workflow engines, and they're not dumping them for Flow, but the idea of why don't we have one workflow engine that can be used across all these different platforms? Oh, and also work with third-party platforms, Dropbox, even our competitors like Salesforce.
Mm.
Yeah. So they have a lot of integrations now, and Salesforce is one of them. I think it's interesting how they've kind of changed to be more inclusive. They don't bother that much about where you come from and how you what systems you have, as long as you can do it. And I can see in the future that the common data service would be an integration where people don't even use Dynamics. I mean,
right.
It is a very good, cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Platform, right? And another thing that I'm sure is going to, again, I'm not an operations expert, but where you're seeing CRM going is so much leveraging machine learning and doing things like that. So on the sales side, being able to predict what's the next best product. So you mentioned the production planning example. I can see that as an ideal way to leverage something like cognitive services and machine learning to get more precise in your forecasting.
Yeah, we actually they actually use Cortana Analytics for these Arima algorithms. They have a Cortana Analytics that they do that now for the forecasting model in Dynamics 365 for Finance and Operations Enterprise Edition. Yeah, so it's they
it's
do
a mouthful.
They do it in operations. So it's already there. It's not being talked about that much, but it's one of the things that
I think people
do.
I think people have kind of a wait and see. It's kind of a black magic to a lot of people. Like if I start using Cortana and you know, if I'm writing a SQL reporting services report, I can look under the hood and know what's happening there. If I'm using cognitive services and especially some of the stuff that's prepackaged, where I don't have a data scientist hooking it up, but it's more of an out of the box. People want to kind of wait and see, is that really accurate? But we have real life examples. So if you use Exchange online and you've got the clutter folder, that's using machine learning to figure out what your gray mail is. And my experience was, it was pretty bad at first, but then after a week or two, it got better. Now I don't even look at it, maybe once a month. And it learned, it's things like that are machine learning in real life that I think people become more and more accustomed to, more used to. And that's where
you're saying that I should have had it turned on for a longer period of time and it would be better.
Yeah, absolutely. It gets better. Yeah, although I've now got a spam folder, a junk folder, and a clutter folder. So if I don't get somebody's email, I gotta look five or six different places.
Yeah.
How well, the the main important thing is that you read my email. That's I just want to say that.
Absolutely.
How is, so coming from the AX side, we were moving into the cloud. We had like AX7 coming, and then suddenly they got shifted into the Dynamics 365. The CRM portfolio was already in the cloud and was already a product there. How do you kind of feel that process, and why do you think Microsoft did that move to the cloud?
There was actually some similar, I want to say, missteps or changes of course earlier in the Dynamics life cycle, especially before and the first part of version 2011, we were in the Microsoft only world. It worked great as long as you're on Windows, Internet Explorer, or Outlook, but just ignoring the outside world, ignoring the iPhones as they were coming on back in the late aughts, if you will, and people, Macs and Chrome and all this stuff. And so the big modernization that happened there was bringing in the cross-browser world. And if you go back and read blog posts from MVPs in early 2012, you see this really high excitement, and then everybody crashes and goes down here. But what came out of that was much better than what it would be. They basically rebuilt the application or the front end of it. Now what you're seeing with the next release, so we've had 2013, 2014, or 2013, 2015, and 2016, which were basically enhancements on top of the new platform then. Now we've got what's called the Unified User Interface, which is kind of the next generation, that in version 9, which is coming out shortly, is going to be kind of an optional interface, but is the way that the mobile interface and the Outlook interface is. And that's kind of the next big shift. But I think they learned some lessons from the last time. I mean, when they went, it was kind of like going from Windows 7 to Windows 8. Everything was totally different. Now, and going from where we are in like Dynamics 365 Customer Engagement 8.2 to the version 9 with the new interface, things are still pretty much in the same place. Now some navigation stuff is different, but somebody could easily walk in there the next day after their upgrade and find what they're doing. They would notice things look different, but Microsoft's, I think they learned the lesson both from CRM and things from the negative reaction to Windows 8 that you need to be a little bit more evolutionary rather than revolutionary. But in going more of an agile release model, and up until this year, for the last 4 years, we've had two releases of CRM every year. And so it's gone from, if you go back to 2012, everybody was complaining, oh, Salesforce is eating our lunch. They have all these great toys that we don't have. And now it's, oh, there's so much new stuff coming out. I can't keep up. And I mean, I'd rather be there than be back having a new release every 4 years.
So how do you feel that the power shift has been? Do you feel you can compete more now with Salesforce? How is that during sales? How do you feel you stack up to Salesforce now?
Definitely. I mean, I think Salesforce is a good product. And I tell my customers and my prospective customers this. If you check the boxes, they definitely take notes from each other. So like for years, we were lagging behind Salesforce. And then I think we took a jump ahead. And then in the last release, Salesforce introduced this thing called Lightning, which looks eerily like CRM 2016. And now in the Unified User Interface, I've heard from several people, that looks very Salesforce-ish. So, I mean, I think they definitely compare notes. But yeah, with the way the technology goes, we're competing in bigger deals, larger opportunities. We regularly beat Salesforce and sometimes they beat us. So it doesn't come down to in a bake-off, it doesn't usually come down to this product is so much better. I had a good anecdote from a prospect a couple weeks ago, and that was 5 years ago, Salesforce was a safe bet because if you hired a sales manager, they knew Salesforce because it was used by everybody. That's what shifted. Dynamics 365 has had a much larger uptake in the last 3-4 years and a rapid growth as a Salesforce, but now it's not a sure bet that everybody's used Salesforce. And also I think you know, just the way that things have changed with the way salespeople work is so much different now than it was 6 years ago, that I think the Microsoft message and the mobile message and all this stuff resonates very well. And if we lose a deal, it's typically not on the technology. It could be they've already got Salesforce or have somebody on the team that really likes it, but it's usually not, oh, we can't go with Microsoft because you don't have feature X, Y, and Z. We can match them and actually exceed them. And I think the things that we are much farther ahead on now, I think we're much farther ahead on things like field service and project service. Those are things that Salesforce is just now getting into. Traditionally, those have been, you know, their ISVs or their partner products, where Microsoft has a very strong field service and project service offering. Also, the analytics story with a lot of people are going Power BI now, and you mentioned Cortana and Azure Data Lakes and things like that. You know, you just have a much closer fit. And I think the LinkedIn acquisition from a selling to salespeople strategy was a brilliant move.
Because you see the things,
you see the things that they're doing. Yeah, because I would say, I don't know the exact percentage, but it seems like every other deal we get in now, somebody there uses Sales Navigator, and seeing the things where it's gotten better. So like, if I send an email through LinkedIn Sales Navigator, I can see it in my activity history along with my phone calls and appointments and where they're going. If you read the news from the Ignite conference going on right now, they're talking about more of a baked in native integration coming within the next year. And so, yeah, definitely. I think those they're taking the right steps in those areas.
Yeah. So cool. You followed closely the Ignite conference, and I saw the keynote with Sacha. There weren't a lot of things on Dynamics there. So I would guess it would be coming in special sessions, but are there anything that you look forward to have a closer look at, or things that you through the MVP program have had knowledge of that is now coming to market?
Yeah, there's a few things. If you go to the Ignite, if you go to the Ignite video page, and I can send you a link after this, but there's one particular video that really jumped out at me, which is where they're talking about extending your business app and the business app platform. And what they were showing at about 7.5 minutes into that, they do a Metro Bank demo. And what they're showing is CRM. They're showing CRM, what CRM has today, but they're talking about it, that this is where SharePoint and this is where Power Apps are going in the next year. And to me, that's the implications of that could be staggering, where you'll still have Dynamics, but this is taking, you know, what we have in Power Apps and things like that, tying together closely and having a more mature model for things like security, for security roles, for configuration, getting more mature. And so taking what you can do now in CRM, but for the power user type apps that, you know, all these things, they use the example of somebody walking into a store and a business process flow popping up, which is what we can do now in CRM. But the idea that it's kind of like CRM without having CRM.
Yeah, right.
That was
yeah.
really interesting.
So
and they also they also had some interesting announcements about the Common Data Service. I haven't gotten to the bottom of all those. I've got many messages popping up from people I know that are there, and I've got to get some real work done, so I haven't been able to read through all of them. But yeah, there's lots of interesting stuff, and the announcements about the furthering the LinkedIn. So well, CRM wasn't front and center. It was kind of underneath all this, as was operations, and talking about how things coming together to do this. And that's where I think already with like Dynamics 365 for talent, which is kind of in that gray area between what you traditionally would use AX for on the HR side and what you would use CRM for on maybe the recruiting and relationship management side, you know, that kind of gray area and how this can come together, I think is really where it is. I have to remind myself though, you see these and they're very aspirational about painting a vision about where we're going to be. There's so much new stuff that we have now or will have soon with the next release of Dynamics 365 that, you know, I kind of have to remind myself to say rooted in reality. And that's why one of my favorite conferences to go to is the CRMUG, the user group, because there you meet the real people and you realize that yeah, there's all these great things coming, but here I've got people that want to know, how do I make my three-year-old system more effective? And that's where, again, I think you have to balance yourself in the world of what's coming and the future, which never turns out exactly like what they show the vision to be in the Microsoft marketing message, and the reality of where real users and real companies are today.
Are you going to Nashville?
Yes, I will. I've got three or four different sessions. That's where we actually have one for CRM Audio, our podcast. It's kind of a joint CRM Audio CRM Tip of the Day session. And we're going to be revealing our 1,000th tip. So yeah, we got that. And I've got several other sessions.
Well, that lines up perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You recently had your, did you pass 100 episodes? You did.
Yeah, since we branched out, we've done more than 100 episodes. So yeah, we had our 100th episode.
Wow. Congratulations, that's cool.
Yeah,
they're charging. Yeah,
we got to bring on some technical/developer guys on the CRM side, because I'm really interested to learn more about the lifecycle and application stack. And you said you had a reference to the lightning in Salesforce. Yeah. I just barely looked at that, and I think it's like a JavaScript type of framework, developer framework. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. But I was talking more about the user experience. They have a process flow just like CRM does. And it looked very similar to that when they came out with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that the big, if you get some CRM developers in a room, and we had an episode about a week ago where we had a citizen developer debate where I got three CRM developers and three CRM business analysts together. And the thing that keeps the developers up at night now is all these tools they're giving power users. Flow scares developers. And because it's giving them so much power to mess things up. And there are security controls you have on it, but it's kind of like, without Flow, a user can only do so much damage. And Flow can amplify that times 200. Because now you can not only mess up your CRM records, you can also bring Twitter and Facebook and Dropbox into the mix.
But that is not just typical, because the people who often create the mapping or getting the gap between the developers, they actually develop the program, and the ones, the business users, that can be a tough one. So when the business users can actually do the development themselves at some level, they know exactly what they need to get their job done. So.
Right. And I argue that a lot of the tasks you would use Flow for, like simple notifications or things like that, are not the kind of work that a real developer really wants to be doing to begin with.
No.
So taking that out of their hands. But if I was running a company or planning a deployment, I would really be a little bit concerned about who I gave the full power of Microsoft Flow to, especially because if you look at the licensing, you basically have a shared pool of executions. And so one guy or person writing a rogue Flow that fired a million times could eat up everybody's Flow allocation, then none of your other jobs would work. That's where I use Flow quite a bit in my personal life. The most complex Flow I've made for my personal life is if an email from my son's teacher comes in with an attachment, it texts my wife and sends the document to the printer to print out so my wife can pick it up. So it works well, but I find my Flows somewhat regularly fail. And when they fail, there's not that much you can do about it. I have seen partners developing integration type stuff to link customers or update customers in CRM when something changes in AX. I don't think I'd go there yet. I would use it more for the disposable, non-mission critical kind of processes, just because I don't feel it's ready. And I don't think it's designed to be that real-time integration tool.
But what we're really seeing is basically Microsoft living up to their mission statement. Like, they're liberating access to really powerful tools. And for those of you who don't know, their mission statement is to empower every user and every organization in the world to achieve more.
Right. And
that's exactly what they're doing. And they're focusing a lot on the user side, but coming to that citizen developer story with everything in Power Apps and Flow. But then again, what they're doing to Power BI, instead of having that reporting story being developers focused and data analysts, data here we go, data analysts.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah, and they have to be very liberated now that they're the only thing they're going to do is provide access to their data, and that's like.
Yeah, but how many of us have seen someone fire a Power BI desktop running a direct query into their production database?
Right. Oh. it goes back to the Lotus 1-2-3 versus Excel. I mean, Lotus 1-2-3 was very expensive, complicated to use. Microsoft came out with Excel, or acquired Excel from somebody else, and had a cheaper, easier to use tool. And Access versus Oracle. You wouldn't want to do what build an Oracle database in Access, and there were a ton of poorly written Access databases and applications. But same thing, liberating, especially for smaller customers or individuals. And that was a great learning tool to get there. And that's where they're kind of positioning Power Apps to be, replace your Access applications and databases with a Power App. Yeah. And so it's the same story, but there's always a developer component to that. So, I like the idea of Flow as a modeling tool where you have a power user that mocks something up as a flow, and sure, you wouldn't want to use it for a million records, but they can show it, hand it to the developer who can promote it to an Azure Logic app or something that can be more robust and more controlled. And, that's a great story.
Yeah, I think that is also the way that it go. It replaces the people in the organization before who had these Access databases, and that's what the tool that they made. And these really complex spreadsheets for things like CPQ and things like that will be now developed more into a framework that is easily taken out of that context and reproduced easily by a developer because they see how it's done. The other way of going to Access and then like extracting that data model and putting that into some type of business application is a longer road than having it already being sort of already within the system framework that
we're
building upon. So it's an interesting way.
So let me ask you a question. In coming up, before I came on here, I asked some of my CRM MVP friends and people I work with in the CRM world, what's your impression of operations or ERP in general? And first word that came to many people's mind was boring. I don't know why that is, but and I gotta say, I fell asleep in every accounting class I ever took. So that made me clear to me I shouldn't be a financials or ERP type consultant. But no, people on the CRM side genuinely like AX and like operations and C for the things like production planning, like order fulfillment, like product catalog. Nobody on CRM side likes the CRM product catalog. It's if you want to do anything custom with it, you have to do a lot of customization to it. So those are the kind of things. What is the general operations or AX impression of CRM?
It's the gateway to getting data or salespersons to use Outlook, because they will always have another system that would be integrated. So it'd be more like a product that we kind of had to have, because the sales story, if you're coming from a pure sales organization, it's the story isn't that good in operations. It's there, but it's not fully developed. And so the future, I think, is brighter than before, but it's only tackling like this one field that we normally do. And we're missing that automation, because for me, operations is more getting these processes intertwined and working together like a big cogwheel. So you have operations that feeds finance. I don't do finance either. I think I find that boring as well. But everything that you could do from the operations side that pulls into your finance, and being only a CRM consultant, you don't have to take that as much into account. When we set up items, we also have to take in how will this item be posted financially. So every transaction that you do with this item also feeds into financials. And that's why you have up until the CRM, the quotation phase. That's kind of where the cutoff goes. And I feel that CRM is awesome at that.
Right.
It's a great application.
Well, so I'll try to indulge you with because you two you speak the same language. You're functional guys. So from a technical side, I know that I don't know that much about CRM, but the little I know, I believe that CRM is a little bit more mature than say good old AX, legacy AX. It has mm-hmm. been in the Microsoft stack longer. So as far as I know, that you develop in C#, for the most part. So and also the fact that it has been software as a service in cloud for so many years tells me about how it utilizes the Microsoft stack probably a little bit better than legacy AX. If you only have to go one version back with AX 2012, there were still some components, legacy components that were completely not .NET at all. They were things that became C++ artifacts and what have you. So yeah, CRM looks a little bit more mature on the technical side, I'd say.
Okay. And from a user perspective, one of my impressions is operations and finance. A lot of those processes, the users have to use them, or else the business stops, things don't get paid, that type of thing. Whereas on the CRM side, when it comes down to it, a lot of CRM deployments are optional. If you have a senior level salesperson who swears on using index cards to manage his relationships, nobody's going to fire that guy. And so we have, in my opinion, a little bit tougher job building user adoption than a financials and ERP. I'm sure there's challenges with that from the operations side as well. But from a CRM perspective, you know, like I said, salesperson, if he's effective at selling stuff, you know, unless he's a new guy and isn't selling anything, then they can say, you're going to use the CRM system, you're going to get fired. But if somebody's at the top of the brag board and refuses to use it, he's been working for 30 years without a CRM and he doesn't want to start now, nobody's going to fire that guy.
Yeah, that is also my opinion, that the hardest guy to kind of convince is the sales guys. They won't put anything in it, like you say.
And it's also easier to switch a CRM system to another product than to switch an operations or a finance system to another product, from my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, CRM again, if you have a CRM that's poorly adopted and you have a new sales guy comes in that loves Sugar CRM for some crazy reason, you know, there's nothing stopping them. Sure, they'll lose data or have to go through some pains, but you know, that's just the difference of the customer. And that's where, well, we are coming together. I don't see there ever being some distinction, because the way that they're sold and the people who are making the buying decisions typically on a CRM deployment versus an operations deployment are different groups of people. Now, some things are a unified process, but I would say those are still rare. But I think having them together strengthens Microsoft, strengthens partners, especially those who do both, and you know, helps us to get in. But where we have operations and CRM, we'll have the same team, but we'll have, for example, an architect that's more focused on the operation side and an architect that's more focused on the CRM team. And they're working together, and you probably have one that is making the call of this is what's going there, this is what's going here, and how the integration is working. But there's still, at least today, kind of distinct skill sets.
Absolutely. Mm. We've got to wrap up soon, but I feel that this is also something that Sacha is highlighting in when he, every time he speaks about it, he talks about system of record and systems of engagement. And these are two totally different types of systems, and they have different meanings, different implementation methods, and a whole different type of mantra about them. So right. It's interesting to see how we're going to work together now in the future to improve both our work days. Like, everybody has to talk together now to make this work. And we're selling a big story.
I think in the last week or two, the AX and CRM partners were unified and were probably both saying, I'm really glad I'm not a division partner.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope, I sincerely hope that there's at least a couple of chapters in Sacha's book covering his vision on the dynamics.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Joel, for joining us. We're out of time. You have to go. We're actually over time. But where can we tell us where you can where we can find you on the internet?
I'm all over the place. I'm at Joel Lindstrom on Twitter. You can catch up with me on CRMtipoftheday.com or CRM.audio.
Yeah. And we hope to have you back on because you you are one of the big names, at least within the CRM space. And it's so nice to finally get to chat to you. And we have to do a co-op podcast sometime with all the podcasting people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And if you're in Nashville for the AXUG, come by and say hi.
Yeah. Do that. We're not going, but
maybe next year. We so wanted to go.
Yeah, we did. But yeah. Okay. Not this time. Thank you very much, Joel, for joining us, and have a good one.
All right, bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.